AM 1390 WFIW, the Bruce Dickey Show. I've had guests across the way, and I've been waiting for this conversation on the radio for about 3 or 4 weeks. We caught up, ran into this young lady about 3 weeks ago, and right before I was leaving, and she said she'd come back in here to help out, tell people about Vietnam. I guess it's all still fresh on your mind, Phyllis Hilliard.
Yes, we had a wonderful trip. And Dennis and Janet Branch are here, and Janet
I was going to get to them too, Phyllis.
Well, she is our scribe. She's the one that took
Janet's
all the notes.
Your diarist?
She had a
journal
that journalist.
She kept, so she remembers everything, and I vaguely remember.
This is your first trip to Southeast Asia,
yes.
I guess? Okay. Also joining us today, that was Phyllis Hilliard. Also joining us this morning, Dennis and Janet Brandt. Good morning, Dennis. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Janet, thank you very much for being here. Need you to go, like, toward the thing.
Thank you, Dennis.
This was not your first trip to Southeast Asia, was it?
No, but it was a lot more pleasurable this time.
A little shorter trip, too, I guess.
Short.
How long were you there the first time?
Year to the date.
1 year to the day. Mm-hmm. Okay, you obviously, Dennis, served in the U.S. Army, I presume, in Vietnam.
Yeah, we were married 14 days before I went over.
When was that?
In 68.
1968.
November 68.
48 years ago.
48 years ago.
I'm going to ask you a little bit about that. November is do things ever cool off in Vietnam, or you got there?
Oh, yeah.
You got there in winter time. I guess that's my question. Is it cool in Vietnam in the winter? Or?
It cools off when you get to monsoons. Of course, then it rains every day.
that doesn't seem like any fun at all.
It wasn't any fun, but no, it's hot all the time. It's
hot
warm
all the time.
All the time. Sometimes really hot.
What latitude are you looking at? Vietnam and Cambodia. Probably equal with what in the U.S. or is it Mexico somewhere?
Mexico.
Probably.
Yeah, when we was there on vacation, it was over 100 a couple of days.
In March? You were in there
March.
March and April?
Yes.
Did you know it was going to get that hot, or were you expecting warmth?
We picked that time over during the monsoons. I'd prefer
well,
not
nice,
to be raining
that
all
makes
the time.
Sense. That makes sense. How was the weather over there? Other than hot, did you get rain?
No, it didn't rain today. It was great, other than being hot. It was great weather.
We're going to talk with Phyllis and Dennis and Janet about what they saw. And Janet, this was your first trip, I presume, to the Southeast Asia, right?
Yes.
Did some of the things that had Dennis told you about anything over there before you went, like what to expect, or maybe were the expectations met, or were they entirely different from what you were planning on seeing, or what?
I wasn't expecting 115 degrees.
You weren't expecting it to be so warm.
It was so warm, but he was in the jungle.
Yeah.
When he was in Nam.
He had shade.
Well.
But that shade and warmth are two different things.
Yeah,
shade and heat, oppressive heat.
Yeah, he said, you know, he had to use his machete and just make a path, but we never did get into
area. You never got into the jungle. That's good. I think you're probably happy about that. Okay, Phyllis, tell me about the trip. Where did you start? And what, as I understand, you didn't just go to Vietnam.
No, we actually started from quickly St. Louis to L.A., L.A. to Tokyo to Saigon, which is now Ho Chi Minh City.
Okay.
And that took about 30 hours.
Was this just the three of you, or did you join a tour?
Joined a tour once we got to Ho Chi Minh City.
I see. Okay.
But the three of us were traveling, you know, alone together, but we did fine. We were real proud of ourselves.
Well, that's good.
Phyllis is a very good guide, I tell you.
Well, we read signs in multiple languages, but we got to where we needed to go.
Now, hold on. All right, how many multiple languages were the signs in Vietnam, in Ho Chi Minh City? How many, were they in English? There was English on some.
There was always English.
Always English.
Is that right?
That's right.
Menus, too, and that kind of thing?
Oh, yes. But once we got to Hanoi, guess what the principal language is in Hanoi?
I must tell you, I don't have a clue. Vietnamese.
French.
Really?
French.
So the French left that much of a legacy.
In the 50s.
Because they were only there, what, 10, 15 years, as I recall?
My history is poor.
Yeah.
But they left the French language. And then kind of goes French, Vietnamese, English.
How many languages are spoken in Vietnam?
82 dialects.
There are 54 cultures, they said, that live in Ho Chi Minh City.
Just in Ho Chi Minh City?
Yes.
Ho Chi Minh is south of Hanoi, and you flew into Ho Chi Minh City. Okay, I thought you started in Cambodia. You started in Saigon? No. Saigon.
Ho Chi Minh City. It's either way. And then we toured Ho Chi Minh City for a couple of days, and then we picked up a riverboat.
Oh, really?
And we were on the Mekong River.
You went on the Mekong River?
Yes.
How long were you on it?
7 days.
7 days.
7 days, 8 days, depending on whether you count yen. Yes. Loved it.
Really?
Yes.
All right. I'm just sitting here. My only reference point of the Mekong River, the Mekong Delta, I guess, is Apocalypse Now.
Well,
and that's not exactly what it was like, is it, Dennis? Right?
Not quite.
Are there cities along the Mekong River?
No, there's villages, but there wasn't any cities that you might say. But we'd stop off at farms and different factories, and it was just a delight to stop off at these different locations. We got off and toured and got back on.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
Now, getting off means they plop two tubivores over the side.
Yeah.
And they sent a crew member over with a shovel who shoveled and made steps in the dirt. And that's how we...
Nobody has docks.
Well,
that's a no. That's a no from Dennis.
But very, very workable. And
if you're going to factories, though, I'm surprised I would have thought the infrastructure they would be shipping by.
No shipping by shipping.
They're shipping by truck, I guess, or by what?
By boat. By sampan is how we got from our boat to like the different.
Sampan being the large canoe type of thing.
Yes, that's it.
Is that right?
That's it.
Wow. This is amazing to me. I mean, because Vietnam is by no means a minor player in the industry
right now. That's right. They're growing all the time.
So you would go, Dennis, tell me about some of the factories that you guys got off to go see.
Well, we went into a brick factory, which was just fantastic going through it. You wouldn't believe that how hard these people work.
Really?
And how little they get paid.
Oh, is that right?
Absolute, and they still do it the hard way. They carry everything on their backs, and they still got the basket on the front and the basket on the back and a pole down the middle, and they're carrying stuff. And they had a kiln, and it was so hot in there. You wouldn't believe how hot it
is. All right, so it's already 100 degrees.
Yes.
It's already 100 degrees, and these poor folks, I guess I call them poor folks, but they're doing it. I don't know if they're doing it by choice or not, but they're working in a hot brick factory. Doing it the old-fashioned way, huh?
That's right.
And they are happy people.
Is that right?
They have smiles on their
faces. How many hours a day or how many hours a week you think they're working? Did your guides tell you?
No, I don't know.
Because, you know, you didn't get a chance. Did you get a chance to talk to any of the locals? Or did the locals speak any English?
Some of them, very little. But some of them spoke a little English, but very little. But they're teaching their young kids English all the time. We went to two schools, and they're teaching them English.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay.
But we went to a silk factory. You asked about some other silk factory.
Yeah, tell me.
Very interesting on that, about the silkworms and how they planted
mulberry trees
to get the butterflies to come there to lay the eggs.
You're looking at mulberry orchards.
Yes. They did the whole thing right there. It was very interesting.
What's the biggest city you saw outside of the Hanoi and Ho Chi Minh
and
Phnom Penh?
Siem Reap.
Phnom Penh.
I mean, on the Mekong Delta River trip.
What's the
biggest village you would see?
They're just little fellers that we might call maybe 500 people.
Tell me about the boat that you were on. Going up the river. How many people on the boat?
48.
48 passengers. There were
47.
47 because
I was by myself, you know.
Well, that's fine.
But a wonderful, wonderful experience. And we got to know all of the other passengers.
Well, if you're on a ship with 48...
Ship isn't quite the right
word.
No,
ship's
not right.
It's boat.
It's boat. If you're on a boat with 48 people for a week, you're probably going to make some friends.
But they're from all over the world.
Really?
All over the world.
So the entire world was... It's basically folks all over the world wanting to learn about Vietnam.
Right. That's right.
How many from the U.S.? Six, eight people?
Probably six.
Yeah. The rest were from...
You were telling me you ran in, you met folks from New Zealand and
Russia.
Russia. Australia.
Australia, Canada.
I guess if you're on this trip, you're going to be grouped with that many people. You know how to act in society. Do people from Russia act differently than people from New Zealand, or what are your observations?
I don't think so. They're just all people.
Is that right?
That's right.
You know, it's amazing how well we could all get along with each other.
Yeah.
But our governments can't.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing. Well, yeah, we're not going to get into that.
No.
Well,
I just want to mention one thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Australia, if they don't vote, they're fined.
$400.
Wait, whoa. Janet, tell me that again and go a little closer to the microphone. Behind it. Yeah, there you go. You got to be behind it.
In Australia, a couple was from Australia, and they were talking to us. And if they do not vote, they are fined.
By the government.
By the government,
$400 for not voting
each, so $800 a couple.
I don't know if that's a good way for the government to try to make money. Or
would be here,
but everyone.
Yeah, it'd work out pretty well here.
Everyone votes.
Yeah, I bet they do.
And they're so surprised in the U.S. that our overall percentage of voters is so small,
30 or 40 or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's amazing. I'm talking with Phyllis Hilliard and Dennis and Janet Brand about their recent trip to Southeast Asia. We're going to get into the temples and the Cambodia part, as well as the into the cities of Vietnam and Cambodia. When we return here on the Bruce Dickey Show, you are listening on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Back in just a second. Welcome back to Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in. I'm talking with Phyllis Hilliard and Dennis and Janet Brandt about their recent trip to Vietnam and Cambodia. And it's just fascinating. We've been on the river. Now you get off the riverboat. Pretty soon now we're going to go to Cambodia next, I guess. Is that correct, Janet?
Yes.
What were your impressions of Cambodia?
Hot. It was actually hotter than it was in Vietnam.
I gotta tell you, Janet, every time I ask you anything, it's hot.
I shouldn't do that, but it's the truth. They told us to drink four bottles of water every day, and then they would pass out wet rags
for your back and that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Drink electrolytes. They had the little electrolyte packages you could put
like Gatorade,
right?
Or
powdered stuff.
5-hour energy type of stuff. Okay, in Cambodia, Cambodia known to me, and you guys can tell me if I'm wrong or what I'm missing. Known for temples as well as the killing fields. And
that's right.
I presume the tour went to both, right?
Yes.
Yes, it did.
What? The temples, when you look at the temples and you've seen the temples, and I've seen the temples on television and that kind of thing, and online, the temples, they look like they took just years and years to create, right?
They did. They made back in the 12th
century. Yeah, I was going to say, how long ago, how old are most of them?
1100s.
And they had a flourishing civilization, presumably, for hundreds and hundreds of years. And then all of a sudden, we run into the 1900s and had a real issue, I guess. What left more of an impression on... Now, you folks are all churchgoers. Mm-hmm. So you're all religious, very religious. So you understand other people's religions and are tolerant of it, as I understand.
That's right.
What left more of an impression on you folks? The other religions, the other temples, or the killing fields? I wonder, because the killing fields... A historical tragedy beyond description.
Well, I can appreciate, other people's religions. Of course, most of them was Buddhist over there.
Sure.
But the killing fields were just... I read about a little bit about the killing fields before I left, read the book. It was just... When you get there, you're just awestruck by the...
Enormity?
Enormity of what happened when 2 million people... were killed. I mean, they had this one tree, and they had all kinds of ribbons on this tree.
Mm-hmm.
And they told us this, and it was a huge tree. And they told us they used this tree to kill the young kids and children. They'd pick them up by their legs and hit
just
their head.
Swing them up. How big is this? How big is this area? Because they were taking, this is where they took the 2 million people to kill.
Yeah.
I think I heard 12 acres. It's not that big.
They killed 2 million people in a space of 12 acres.
Well, and then they attempted to do the mass graves.
Right.
And there's a kind of a river that goes along this. It's just...
That must be terrifying. Terrifying and at the same time... Terrifying to me that man can do that.
Yeah.
What is terrifying to me is... I lived through this.
Yeah.
This happened in
Didn't
the
know about
70s.
It. Didn't know about it.
And
I did too.
I
did too.
On the other side of the world.
You had been to the, not to Cambodia, but you'd been to Southeast Asia, and you didn't know about it.
I didn't know about it. No. And this guy by the name of Pol Pot, he's the one that got this whole regime started. And he convinced people over there that's the way. Now, he wanted to get rid of anybody that had any education.
Yeah.
If you had education, you was dead.
Yeah.
You wear glasses.
Yeah.
You're dead.
Yeah.
Because you
were going to
read. Because you can read.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just amazing. It's just amazing. So he decimated a portion of the country. How is Cambodia today? Is it coming back at all? Is it
Absolutely.
Still tremendously poor?
In Phnom Penh, for instance, they're getting ready to build the tallest building in the world. It's going to be 143 stories tall.
Wow.
So
With
it's coming back
from
big
China.
Time. China and Japan.
Japan. China and Japan are the ones putting the money in.
Of course, they're doing it for...
Well, it's still... Is Cambodia still a communism?
Oh, yes.
I know Vietnam is still a communist country.
Yes. Communism
so,
and socialism.
So basically... So the labor's cheap. The labor is really cheap.
Those brick workers got $10 a day.
That's probably a pretty good amount over there, huh?
Yeah, it might be.
But I'm looking at... knit shirts, sports shirts.
Yeah.
I bet if we looked in the tags, they were made in Cambodia or Vietnam.
You're probably right.
So if it has a logo of a sports logo or something, then they ship the fabric over to Cambodia. Then the labor is all done there, and then it's shipped back for resale in the U.S. But all the labor is done in Cambodia or Vietnam.
Of course, communism took over when
we
left.
Pol Pot.
And I'm back to Vietnam. When we left in Vietnam, communism...
It was taken over. It was done.
But we was told there's 96 million people that live in Vietnam, and only 4 million of them are communists. But they control the government and all the...
And the money.
And money. And the people there do not like... the communist government.
Oh, is that right?
No. They don't like their government. But there's nothing they can do about it.
Yeah, because they're not armed.
That's right.
That's amazing. That is amazing to me. That it's still, there's still what, 4 or 5 communist countries in the world, and they're successful because they're getting capitalist money. So Cambodia, how was the food? Tell me how the food was. I'm going to switch off the political side. Tell me the food in Cambodia and Vietnam. What was your best meal?
The food was overall good. Just 2 or 3 little rules. Nothing is wasted.
Really?
So the chicken feet, the combs of the chicken beaks.
What's a chicken comb?
The rooster.
Oh, okay, the top. Yeah. The mohawk.
Yes.
Okay.
Nothing is wasted. It's all.
What do you do with a chicken comb?
It's a delicacy. It's pickled.
You pickle chicken combs.
I didn't taste it.
You didn't try.
And the feet are just...
Dennis, did you try it? No. No.
But the feet are laying there. But those are delicacies. And we eat a chicken like a chicken leg, and we eat around the bone. They slice it differently through the bone, like with a meat cleaver, and, you know, boom, 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 boom.
So they're making
portions. And that's all in
portions.
A stew or, you know, something, but nothing is wasted.
So they still eat rats. They still eat snake.
Frog legs.
That's
fine.
Frog legs are great.
But eel, anything in the water, clams and prawns and, you know.
They sell fish heads, just the head itself.
And you make a soup with fish kind of soup head soup.
How are the, I wonder... I wonder if they've had, you know, starvation or anything like that. They don't starve in Southeast Asia, do they?
They don't get fat either.
No. They don't get fat. Well,
they're
eating fish.
That's right.
Yeah,
and they walk.
Yeah.
Well, their daily goal is to get enough food for that day.
They buy it day. Refrigeration is not an option. So you go to the fresh market every day, and you buy your fresh vegetables, your fresh fruit, your rice that you're going to cook, possibly some meat, and you might buy just a little piece of pork or fish or shrimp or...
96 million people in Vietnam. How many people have a car? Not very many, I'm guessing.
A lot of them have motorcycles.
One,
really?
Maybe, yeah, but motorcycles, bicycles. Motor scooters, not bicycles.
How'd you guys get around? Were you on buses?
We were on buses. Big buses.
I was going to say, could they fit the entire group on one bus?
No, we had two.
Two buses.
You had
so there's
two
only
buses.
24 people on each bus, or that about. So we had all kinds of room on the bus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is just fascinating to me. Okay. All right. So you're on tour. You're on the tour. We'll get to Vietnam in a second. You're in Cambodia. Are the two countries, can you differentiate the two? They're both communist places. They've both been ravaged by war of different kinds. Can you tell the one place apart from another? Like, I mean, since you've visited Cambodia, can you walk into a place, be dropped, parachute into Vietnam? And I'm in Vietnam. I'm not in Cambodia.
I couldn't.
The people look different.
Really?
They're different. I can't explain it.
Well, the people...
Anthropologically speaking.
But there are different features.
The people in Vietnam do not want to get dark. Matter of fact, when you see them out, and it may be 100 degrees, but when you see them out on a motorcycle, they got gloves on, they got their head wrapped up, they got something over their nose because they don't want to get any suntan.
And they may have a coat.
Yeah, and they may have a coat.
But in 115 degree
yes,
weather.
Yes.
But then when you get to Cambodia, they're dark skinned. So that's the main thing difference you can see between the two.
And is that right?
Yeah.
The Cambodians had curly hair, they told us,
and rounder faces. Mm-hmm. But there's, if I had them side by side, I could pick.
Wow.
But
wait, so do the Cambodians and Vietnamese like each other? Mm. I mean, the reason I ask, I'll tell you. I'll let you think about that. I had a college professor who was. Who was Chinese, and he was in the middle of a class one day, and he was trying for a job, and he said that he was telling the story that somebody had mistaken him for Japanese, and he got livid telling the story. I am not Japanese. I'm Chinese, I just thought Asian's Asian, but I mean it's not, is it? So Cambodians and Vietnamese.
Well, when Pol Pot took over Cambodia, he thought that. Vietnam was going to come in and invade.
Yeah, they were next, yeah.
So he went over there. Well, that was his big mistake.
Yeah.
Because that's when Vietnam come over.
Well, Vietnam was already in. They were already.
They came over.
They were already
Cambodia.
Ready to go, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they just took over his regime. And then after a while, Vietnam moved out and gave it back to Cambodia. So I would say that Cambodian people are very friendly and very appreciative of what Vietnam did
to
for
get
them.
Rid of Pol
That's
Pot.
That's right.
Well, and we had people, one of our tour guides was trying to get from, he and his family, from Cambodia. Vietnam was the safe place to be.
Is that
to
right?
To get out of Cambodia.
Wow. And, well, you can think back. I do remember, I'm old enough, I guess, to remember boat people leaving
Vietnam.
Well,
and one of
Vietnam.
Our tour guides was a
one
boat
of your,
person.
One of your tour, what was his story, Dennis?
Well, after the Vietnam conflict and they knew it was going to happen, him and his family got on one of these boats, and he was 13, I think, at the time, and he laid horizontal. Was it
under a bench?
Under a bench. What, it was 7 days.
Yes.
He didn't get up. He laid there for 7 days as is going, and they finally found a boat that they could get on.
Wow.
How many of his family were killed? He told us. I want to say seven.
Oh my goodness.
But just when he's telling this story, we're just.
So, see, when I went over
You're taking it emotionally, and it's matter of fact to him because it happened 40 years ago.
When I went over there, I just didn't know what my
responsibilities?
Not that so much. What they would feel about me as a soldier going back over.
Oh, I see what you meant now. Yeah.
Yes,
what
because
you,
we just
What to expect them. Now.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah. How did they respond to that?
Well, that's what I was telling you about this person that was a South Vietnam soldier.
Yeah.
And we embraced each other. And
We talked about that during the break. So, yeah. I mean, we didn't.
No.
That's amazing. This is a fascinating story. I'm talking to Phyllis Hilliard along with Dennis and Janet Brandt. You're listening to the Bruce Dickey Show. We'll be back and talk a little bit more about their trip to Southeast Asia when we return here on the Bruce Dickey Show. Back after these. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390, WFIW FM, Fairfield, Illinois. I'm sitting across this morning from Phyllis Hilliard and Dennis and Janet Brandt. We've been talking about their recent trip to Southeast Asia from here to over to Vietnam, down to Cambodia, and back to Ho Chi Minh City. Came into Ho Chi Minh City, right?
Yes.
And then
Hanoi.
Back to Hanoi. Mm-hmm. Of the, you spent about, how many days did you spend in Cambodia, guys?
Well, we went from Vietnam into Cambodia to Vietnam, and you know we went
for people who may not have looked much at maps of Vietnam in the last 40 years.
Yeah,
you went from South Vietnam into Cambodia, and then flew out from Cambodia to back to Hanoi. Right.
That's
well,
right.
We made more zigzags in that.
More zigzags. Yeah. Okay. Large cities.
Some of them pretty large.
Spent of the 3 weeks you spent, how many days do you think you spent in cities? I mean, nights. 2 weeks of it? Not quite that much?
No. 5 or 6 days, maybe.
Is that all?
Yeah.
So the rest of the time you spent about a week on the boat. So the other 6 days you were in villages
or were in small? Smaller.
Yeah,
we were in
just going through.
Reap. We spent 2 nights there,
which
is not a big city,
but
5 or 6,000, and that. It's pretty big.
And I presume they had, I presume with the tour group you were with, I'm presuming that they westernized a lot of things for the meals and for the accommodations. What do people sleep on? What were you able to get into see somebody's?
We went into the farmer's house. You went up, of course it was on stilts because of the monsoons.
Uh-huh.
And you went up the plank and the ramp. And walked inside, and the first thing we saw was a television.
Really?
I was shocked. Television.
I was going to say, how do they get their electricity?
I don't know.
They don't have a TVA.
There was one television.
Well, I wonder if somebody's like riding a bike outside so that somebody...
I don't know. But then that was the living room. On the bedroom, the children sleep in hammocks.
Hammocks?
Mm-hmm.
Inside the house?
Yes.
But the floor is still bamboo floors. She cooks on an open fire inside there. There's no walls, no windows, or anything like that. It's just all open.
All open.
Yeah.
No doors.
No doors.
And there's I'm calling it a table.
Back up, Phyllis.
It's about the size of this desk square.
Uh-huh.
And it's a bamboo multi-purpose.
This is the work center, presumably.
Work center. So it is a table. It is also a bed.
They sleep there.
That's
where the parents or the heads of the household sleep.
Well, and the kids, and you know, it's just a multi.
How big a house is this? I mean, is it how many square feet are we talking about? Can a realtor do any good over there? Or? How big is it, Dennis?
Maybe as big as your room and in the hallway out here.
So you're looking at about 300 square feet.
Yeah. Not very big.
Not very big.
And the kids were just as happy as can be.
Is that
right? They'd come up and just hug and...
Wow.
The kitchen in this place, of course, it was on a campfire she was cooking. Had a grid on top of it. And half of the kitchen was over on the right side. And it was full of corn cobs. That's what they were using.
That's their fuel?
Yes.
That you said they use everything.
Nothing is wasted.
The hall from the rice, you know, they have so much rice over there.
Right.
The hulls, you could see tugboats full of hulls, and they take those into those kilns, and that's what they fire to dry the bricks.
The hulls from the rice.
Right.
They're drying the bricks from rice.
That is the fuel for the kilns.
I'm wondering more about their vegetation. You're eating rice. I'm guessing there's no potatoes, because I mean, it doesn't sound like the.
Didn't see any.
Because the ground is not conducive for it, presumably, right? I mean, you wouldn't have flat ground that much.
But we saw carrots and turnips. And
you did see some tubers.
And
chilies,
radishes, chilies, a lot of hot chilies.
What was your favorite thing to eat over there?
It
doesn't look like any of you had a good time eating.
No, I did not have anything. Now, I was select. I didn't eat the octopus.
Okay.
And if I didn't quite know what it was, but the rice dishes, the vegetables, the fruits.
Let me ask another question then. What was the first thing y'all ate when you got back in the U.S.?
A cheeseburger.
Dennis, what about you, Janet?
I think we headed for a fast food.
Yeah, I think we did. But, you know, when I was over there, and I did get sick, by the way.
Well, I wasn't going to mention it.
I knew you wasn't. But at any rate, their fruits and vegetables that they have over there was very, very good. Of course, it's a tropical climate.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I thought, I'm going to be safe. I'm going to eat these fruits and vegetables.
That sounds like the safest thing you could do.
So that's what I did. I ate those. Well, then I got sick, and I went to the hospital, and the doctor said, stay away from any fresh fruits or vegetables. They're washed in the water that's there.
Oh, now we know why you got sick.
Stay with cooked food.
We have a partial reason why you may have got that in the heat.
Yeah.
The heat didn't do you any good either.
It didn't do me any good either.
Well, they said if it was in a skin, like a banana,
yeah,
you know, that was fine. Or if you peeled your own apple. But I'm like Dennis. I wanted it all peeled for me, ready to eat.
Yeah, doggone it. You're on this Western tour thing.
That's right.
So, did you go to the beach?
No.
I'm just wondering. I didn't know.
We didn't see a beach.
Do they have beaches in Vietnam?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Beautiful beaches.
Really?
Yeah.
Cameron Bay, white sand.
No kidding.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Oh, this is fascinating. Would you go back?
Yes.
There's a quick yes from Phyllis. Dennis, you've been there before.
Yeah, I had been.
You've been there a couple of times now, and it's under two incredibly different circumstances.
We'd been on several vacations with Phyllis before, and we decided over a year ago.
You're going to let her go back by herself?
No. We was looking for a place to go, and I called Phyllis, and I said, so what do you think about going to Vietnam? She said, when are we leaving?
What made you decide to go back to Vietnam after 48 years? Do you mind telling me?
I think I wanted to get closure more than anything else. I think I just wanted to see what it was like after 48 years of being over there, even though I didn't go anywhere near where I was at.
Yeah. You didn't see Saigon at the time.
I flew into Saigon, but that's...
But you didn't see the city at all?
No.
You really have no frame of reference,
not really,
of the cities as to the changes over the last 48 years, do you?
Not at all. But I, you know, what I did see in Saigon when I flew in there the first time, it's altogether different. Of course, that's 48 years ago.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, look at any Southeastern Asian city that's been building up. Yeah. Janet?
Oh, it was strange. We were looking over to the shore, and there was long miles of poor houses and so forth. And then...
Shacks.
There was a beautiful motel, you know, 16 stories high, and then all these poor little...
You see, basically a shanty town type of thing, I guess.
Right,
because those shacks, I mean, they're down that low, they'll be washed away. They might get washed away, right?
It could be.
And...
But I think one of the questions, people were worried about safety. We were in the hotels, and they would tell us, if you want to walk around the block, if you want to leave at 10 o'clock at night, no problem.
No safety issues at all.
No safety issues. And they would even say, here's our business card. In case you get lost, you can show that to anybody, and they'll tell you how to get back to the hotel. I wouldn't do that in Chicago or New York City.
Get back around the thing.
Sorry.
That's all right. You would so a lot safer to walk around
in
Hanoi than it is maybe in some of the cities in the United States.
I would say so.
I guess we Well, you have better food here. Let's put it that way.
One thing I did come back was...
What was your final impressions of it?
Appreciation for the lifestyle that we've got here in the United States and how we take everything for granted.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, we've got things so nice compared to the people over there. You just wouldn't believe it.
You know, we say that. And, I'm going to go hop in my car. I'm going to drive 20 miles or something. Yep. There are probably people you saw in these villages who have never been more than... a mile or two from their homes, right?
They still got mountain yard people, and you may not know what that is.
No, I don't.
But they live out in the wilderness. They've never seen civilization.
Like Jeremiah Johnson or something, a mountain man.
Right. They live off the ground. They may have a few pigs and a chicken or two, and they live right there. Plant some rice, so they'll eat rice and whatever they can get.
I never got your answer. She says she's ready to go back. Where are you guys? You've been there, done that, looks like to me.
I'm ready to go someplace else.
Now, I'm ready to go someplace else, too. You know?
Okay. So where's the next trip?
We don't know. We haven't picked that spot.
We're looking Mediterranean. I'd like to take Mediterranean, yes.
I will suggest Barcelona. Mm-hmm. you'll have a ball. You would just love it. Now, Janet, what about you? You going to go back?
Mm,
not without Dennis.
Right.
Well, guys, it sounds like it was just a wonderful trip. I'm glad you had. Did y'all have a good time?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful time.
Well, thank you very much for coming and sharing with the audience your trip, because it sounds like it was fascinating. And just come back anytime, okay? That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today, folks. Talk to y'all again real soon.